The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
Hey, Zeke.
Hey.
Good to see you, my friend.
Good to see you.
You had us a little worried there.
A lot of people were worried.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm glad you're back up on your feet, man. Glad you're in here. And yeah. Hey, and we're glad y'all joined us. Give us a call, 704-570-1110. John's off this week, and I think maybe next week, too. So he's having a little... a little R&R. Well-deserved. He's a hard-working man. Travels a lot, spends a lot of time up in the air and helping folks out. So he's good. Anyway, we're here. We're talking home improvement, some emphasis on air conditioning. I don't think we'll be talking much about heat, but although this morning I was a little surprised when I popped out there to the truck and I have shorts and a t-shirt on and it was 55 and I said, ooh.
Ooh, some of those heatiness came on this morning.
Oh, I bet. So yeah, so it's a little cooler. I know we don't have a heater on our pool, so it really hasn't warmed up to my temperature that I like yet. But it won't be just a couple more days. But I think these cooler nights are making the difference, because I could see the water level dropping a little bit each day. So, but anyway, hey, we're glad you joined us. Give us a call, 704-570-1110. We're talking a little bit today about, I thought maybe we could talk a little bit about mini splits and, some of the uses for them. I know we talked about them before and mainly kind of, I think with additions and bonus rooms and things like that, even, garages and shops. I see a lot of guys pop them in a shop, for some heat. I remember our days growing up everybody was looking for a little freaking wood stove, man, a little tiny pot belly stove that you could warm up in the winter, and then we just sweated it out in the summer and never thought about having air conditioning, right? Yeah, fan. You could always have a nice fan just to blow the warm air around. That makes it nice, right? But yeah, so maybe we'll talk about that. And of course, if there's anything else folks want to talk about, we'll be glad to talk about that. Maybe we'll talk about a couple of emails that we had. That'll get us through. I think we could make 2 hours out of that, that's for sure. And it's always better when we get our calls. We love our listeners and love the calls, and that those calls always help other folks too, because you never know who's got the same question. So it makes a difference. But I think maybe in the last couple minutes of this segment, we'll talk about when someone starts talking about a room addition. It's one of the first things that you have to think about. I mean, obviously, do you meet the setbacks? Can you get the room addition and not encroach on your property lines and things like that? That has to probably be the first thing. But the next thing is air conditioning and heat for a closed, especially a sunroom, because you throw all that glass in there, and you're going to have some source of heat. And usually whenever I would have those conversations with folks, the first thing they would say was, well, why can't you just tie on to the existing ductwork and that'll be good enough? Well, that's not really how it works, is it?
No, by the code, now you have to have a temperature control area. So you got to have another thermostat out there to turn the unit on and off. Well, if you do that, then you have to end up having to put in a sewn system to sewn it. And is the unit that you have large enough?
Right. Because you can make it run for just that area, but if the whole house is calling for air conditioner at the other thermostats, then you may not have enough tonnage, right?
You may not have enough, and that sunroom or that addition might not be big enough to have a zone of its own.
Right.
So you have to have what they call a dump zone, or an area that you can dump the excess air or heat into, and that becomes a problem.
Yeah, so you're really better off to make sure you measure it for comfort's sake and really for spending money, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because I've seen it many times where it's not, it's hard to put just a heat pump or a small mini split for one area because it's not quite big enough either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. Then what do you do with that? So, you know, and as we've talked about for years, I mean, what happens when you put too big of a unit in an area?
It does not run long enough and doesn't get the humidity out. Then you have mildew and, you know.
Right. It feels like a cave.
You're right.
Yeah. So there's a method to the madness, and I think sometimes, you know, and this is really just an explanation for folks so that they kind of have an understanding that, you know, we're not trying to sell you something you don't need. We're trying to make sure that you're comfortable. I mean, the codes have changed now, which helped, because it used to be it was carte blanche. You just did whatever you wanted, right. And you had to rely on that your contractor was taking care of you and making sure you were going to be comfortable and not just trying to close a sale, because that's really not what it should be about in the field. I mean, we're all supposed to be professionals, and really our job is to take care of the customer and make sure that they're happy, they're comfortable, they spend the least amount of money that they can but get the biggest bang for their buck. So
they had so many issues with either the unit that they had for the rest of the house not being big enough to take care of it, and then complains to the, you know, county or the state licensing board about, you know, the system not working properly.
Sure.
And or too large of a unit. If you put a system for that area by itself, that's why they, you know, said change the code where you have to have it, you know, temperature control.
Sure.
For that area.
And we'll talk a little bit more about that, about some zoning and things that could be done and what that actually means. I know there's some folks out there that already understand it, but I think for the folks that don't, it's certainly an alternative, and for certain applications, it works pretty well. Yeah. So we'll talk about that. In the meanwhile, we're going to take a break, so give us a call, 704-570-1110, and we'll be back with more of the Home Depot Home Improvement Show after these messages. Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
Where's our buddy Scott?
I have no playing golf probably.
Scott. He's missing in action. Scott, I hope you're listening. We miss you. Anyway, hey, lines are open, 704-570-1110. Talking home improvement. Got Zeke in the studio with us. We're going to talk... Talk about air conditioning, mainly maybe mini splits, and how important they are. Talk about some zoning, and then I think the other thing that we wanted to hit on, and we'll mention this a few times, is make sure folks are getting their services done right when they're just turning these units on. It's been kind of mild.
It's been very, very mild. That's what I'm afraid of, that a lot of people have not had it serviced, and we get that first 95-degree day, mm-hmm. and then it's going to be...
Then you're going to know something.
Something's not right.
Right.
Getting somebody out there that day could be a problem.
Right. Which, you know, in turn, if the system's not been... If it's not been cleaned... And, you know, most folks can tell. You can kind of go over and look at it, but, you know, you probably should just have somebody at least annually. I mean, we let people look at our cars, so I think our air conditioners are probably worth it. I know mine are. My thing is that I was shocked last year, and it was June when they came out and they pulled the cover off of that Lennox unit, because you can't really see the coils you lay down on the ground, because you have the louvers, which is kind of nice because it's protected. But it looked like it was covered with lint, and it was. Cottonwood. Unbelievable how much was on there, and it was coming off. I started to gather it up. I thought maybe we could make a blanket or something out of it. I wasn't sure. But, yeah, so, this is a brand new house, and we're kind of tucked around the corner from the prevailing west wind, and, you know, and I set my units on that side of the house. I chose that area purposely. One, it got it closest to the units inside, but... you know, they have less sun on them. during the day. You know, I just always think that that's the better place for it. It's near the driveway. It's easier for the service guys when they come. They're not having to traipse around the house, especially if it's muddy or whatever. But boy, when he popped the covers off of that thing, it was furry.
Cottonwood is very, it just gets, and the coils now are either spine fin or the fins are very close because they keep adding fins to it to raise the efficiency.
Right.
And anything gets in there, it stops.
Yeah, it stops it up. And we're surrounded by gravel on that side, so I have all gravel in those areas. That's part of my drainage area. Mm-hmm. I was just pretty amazed at what came off of those coils. Yeah. So they're fairly protected, but they were covered. But that stuff is so light that it draws it as it's sucking in because it's blowing out the top of the unit, right?
Right.
So yeah, it was pretty wild. I was like, okay, well, this just lets me know that this needs to be done. And I also noticed that he was real careful with his spray pattern because when you turn my hose on, I have 100 PSI and my hose is outside. I got big heavy hoses. And he was like, whoa, 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 we can't hit it with that. And he had he said, no, I'm going to use my own nozzle. And he turned it down and was able to wash everything off. And it cleaned up nice. So no problems. And thank you for that, for sure. Let's get let's see if we can get Roger in here. Hey, Roger, welcome to the program. How can we help?
Hello there. Good morning.
Morning.
I have some questions about pavers. I have some pavers around my house, sidewalks, and a patio that are about 20 years old, and they need a little TLC. I recently power washed them, and of course, when you power wash, you knock all the sand out of it.
Right.
And I also have some that just really need to be pulled up and relayed because they've settled some and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked to a contractor about having it done and likely will go that route, but I just want to understand what the process needs to be to prepare for it. And I hear about polymeric sand and don't understand the whole process. Could you go through that with me?
Sure. So I think you've done the right thing. You've gotten it cleaned and washed. My only caution to folks when they're pressure washing anything is to try to keep the tip away. You're better off to use some type of soap or cleaner if you have mold or mildew or a lot of dirt buildup, and try to help break that down and back off with the pressure, but use more volume of water. So and yours is done. I realize that, Roger, but for other folks, because pavers are usually a man-made product if they're concrete pavers. So it's pretty easy to knock the top of them off and expose the aggregate that's inside. And they don't look near as nice whenever that happens. So, since you have yours washed and cleaned up now, the next step would be to do the leveling. So what they'll do is they'll pop those out. A lot of those guys have a tool that slides down in, and when you pick up on it, it pulls in and grabs the paver, and then they can wiggle them out. That's the worst part about pavers, is trying to get them out, because once they're in, it's hard to get a grip. If you start using screwdrivers or pry tools, and you start chipping the corners of them off, and you see that. So, and then there's liable to still be some sand down in those joints, and that helps hold them, of course, in place, and that's what it does. As you try to pick up, that binds and makes it tough. So that tool is pretty handy for removing them. Once that's done, they'll put sand underneath, and then they'll drive the paver back down, and they've done it enough that they kind of know how much they need in there, but they'll pound it back in, get it flattened out. And then the next step is to put your sand in between the joints. And of course, all of this can be done by a novice, homeowner, if you want to do it. It's just labor. It's not hard work. Probably the worst part is having the tool to get the paver out. If you can get your hands on one of those, you're in pretty good shape. But the sand itself gets spread back in between the joints, and as we said, that helps hold the pavers in place, and that keeps them from moving around. It also helps shed the water a little bit. So it's not soaking all the way through And continually getting the substrate wet underneath the pavers. So it'll, if there's, as long as there's pitch and fall on the pavers themselves, that'll wash them away. Now you have the opportunity to use two different kinds of sand. You can use regular sand, and you keep it down and kind of hold it down below the top of the pavers or the edges so that it's not as noticeable, especially if the color doesn't match, you know, and you have two choices here. You have builder sand, which is kind of a golden, more of the reddish color sand, or which they call builder sand, or you can buy beach sand. And there's some different colors in between, but most of them are going to fall in those two colors. The other option is a polymeric sand, which is really, it's a sand, but it has an acrylic admix in it. And what happens is you spread and sweep the polymeric sand into all the joints, just like you would regular sand. But after you're through, you gently blow the excess sand off the top of the pavers, and then you mist. And you don't use a hose full blast. It has to truly be a mist. But the water soaks down into those joints, activates the acrylic polymer, and that helps that bond to the side of the pavers. And it tends to stay in there more. So in heavy rains or if you're not being aggressive with a pressure washer, it generally will stay in those joints for several years. So the only problem I found with it is after two, three years, it starts to get mold and mildew buildup, and so it starts changing colors. So if it was a light ivory color or a lighter color tan, then it's now takes on that green hue and tint. It's not very attractive. So at that point, most of the time you could clean it out with some type of a deck and paver cleaner. And I think once that's done, you can seal the pavers, which we always advise doing, because if you could keep sealer on those, it makes it much easier to clean the following year and take care of.
Do you need to vibrate when you put the sand in with a vibrator?
It's a lot of times they just broom it. They'll use a push broom and broom it in, but you can use a tamp with a plastic plate underneath it and vibrate it. Probably makes it a little bit easier, but it's not necessary. Most of the time you can, if you keep sweeping the sand over top of it, you can get that done. Hey, Roger, we're going to be coming right up on a break too. So I don't want to cut you off. So if I haven't answered all your questions, I'll put you on hold and we'll pick you up on the other side of the break, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's great. I have a couple other questions.
Okay. So if you don't mind holding, I'm going to do that for you and we'll see you after the break. And for all the rest of you, we appreciate you listening, and we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more home improvement after this. All right, we are back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Fleek Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And we appreciate everybody hanging on. Roger's holding for us. We're going to talk a little bit more about pavers. Real quick, we need to do the Home Depot product of the week in honor of Father's Day coming up, or Mama, if you want to buy it for Dad and then you use it, that's perfectly acceptable too. It's the OnePlus 18 volt 18 gauge cordless airstrike brad nailer. Basically, this is a little finish nailer that runs off of a Ryobi 18 volt battery, and it shoots small thin nails, brad nails, so it doesn't make a huge hole in the wood. That's my favorite part about it, because when you're done, you have to patch up all that stuff, and it's kind of a pain when you have these massive holes, because some of these guns really punch a hole in the wood, and then it all has to be repaired before you paint it. But this little tool is $109, and they are they work with the 18 volt battery. So if you have the Ryobi tool line, the battery operated stuff, that same 18 volt battery works for all of these tools, which is really why I like them. And they have about every tool you could imagine. But anyway. It's lightweight and it's easy to use. Small holes, like I said, it takes 18 gauge brad nailers. Check that out at the Home Depot. It's the Ryobi OnePlus 18 volt 18 gauge cordless airstrike brad nailer. It's a lot of words, but it's a little battery operated nail gun. Pretty cool. All right, with that said, let's get Roger back in here. By the way, phones are open. The lines are open, 704-570-1110. Give us a call. Zeke, say hi to Zeke. He'd love to hear from you and any air conditioning questions you might have. Hey, Roger, thanks for holding.
No problem. At the end, you were talking about Sealer.
Uh-huh.
The contractor I was talking to, I mentioned Sealer to him to try to get the wet look on these pavers, and he didn't seem to like that idea. In fact, he said it would require a lot of maintenance, like every 2 to 5 years reapplying, which I can understand.
Well, yeah, yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's kind of like wax in a car, so... I think yeah, he's right. You do have to do maintenance, and you have to do that every once in a while, especially if it gets a lot of sun, because the sun degrades those finishes. A lot of that stuff is acrylic, and so the sun will basically it just burns it off eventually. But the most important part about this is that you're protecting the pavers, so you're keeping them from taking moisture on. It also helps the paver to stay cleaner longer, and if it does get dirty, it makes it easier to clean. So, yeah, you have to apply it every two to five years, depending on what you put on it and the location and the use, you know, how much use it gets. But annually, all you're having to do is go out there with maybe a scrub brush, a little bit of cleaner, and a garden hose. And wash it off. You don't have to get the pressure washer out. You don't have to get all the heavy duty cleaners out. And I think it's a trade off, man. I think you extend the life of the paver. It's like anything else. You know, if you seal or paint wood, it lasts longer. If you keep your car waxed, the finish lasts longer. It's no different with concrete. John and I talk about it all the time. Sealing your concrete driveway or sealing the brick on your home, the front steps of your house, it helps it keep from absorbing moisture. You know, there's so many advantages to sealing versus not sealing. So our thought process is always to seal if you have the opportunity.
Well, how do you apply it? Is it a spray? With a pump up sprayer?
Most sealers today are, you're able to apply with either a garden sprayer. You know, a pump-up garden sprayer. You can roll it. You can brush it. You can put it on with an airless sprayer. Most of it's thin enough that you can apply it with just about anything you want to use.
Is there a brand that you prefer?
No, I think you just need to take a picture, or unless you know exactly what kind of paver you have, and then just look it up. You know, the Home Depot app is a great thing to have. They sell paver. Sealer, you know, they have they have different names for it, but basically anything that will work on concrete will work on concrete pavers.
Okay.
So yeah, that's,
these are like 4x6 concrete paver beveled edges.
Yeah. So you'll be fine. You'll be fine with just about anything that you can put on concrete will work for that. And then you don't have to use a wet look or a high gloss. I know Home Depot Bear has a low luster sealer, and I'm kind of a fan of that. I like the low luster. About the only time I like the really big shine is if I'm using if I'm putting it over stamped concrete. I think it really makes the stamped concrete pop, and it shows a lot more definition in the color and the design that's in it. But for regular pavers, I'm really only looking for ease of cleaning them. You know, I want to protect them, but I want ease of cleaning them. I'm not necessarily interested in that shine, but you know, everybody has their own taste, so it's up to you. Neither one will hurt you, that's for sure. And I really think that the higher gloss shine may last longer. You know, I'm not sure if that's true or not, but it seems like it would, because it maybe has more. I don't know if it has more solids, and for the others, thinned out more, or what it is, but you know, that may be an advantage.
Okay, great. All right, well, thanks for your help. I just want to say it's great to have Zeke back, and I just had a call out 2 or 3 weeks ago to get me ready for summer. So,
well, good.
Good to hear him.
All right. Thanks, Roger. Thanks, appreciate the call. Okay, there you go. I'm a fan of Zeke. I have lots of them. I have lots of people out there that tell me how much they like Zeke. And they're glad when you're on the show. We're glad you're on here, too. We're going to get ready to take a break. Lines are open, 704-570-1110. Talking home improvement. You have any air conditioning questions? We've got Zeke here. He can take care of that for you. And we'll talk a little bit more about mini splits and zoning. And I think we kind of already talked about taking care of the units and getting them serviced. But if you have any questions about that, and then also filter time. So, you know, if you have that one time a year filter, you know, this might be the time to get that taken care of. Anyway, we'll be back with more home improvement right after this. All right, welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And we appreciate y'all listening. Lines open, 704-570-1110. Don't forget, askjohnanddave.com or questions at askjohnanddave.com. You can get your questions answered there as well. We'd be glad to do that for you. Right now, let's get Pam in here. Hey, Pam, how can we help?
I have a question about staining brick.
Okay.
We are in the process of remodeling, and the foundation brick we used 40 years ago didn't match, so I did the best I could finding one that matches. However, there's too many white brick in it. You know, the brick is red.
Right.
It has almost a sandy white look on some of them. Some of them are black. And I want to cover up some of that white. How do I do that?
They make stain, for brick. And you need to talk with, if you talk with the people that sell brick, I think they have those products. I've seen a couple of houses that were completely stained with brick. One of them, it looked awful. I just have to say, but I saw other houses that they used some different colors and they looked pretty good. But you could tell somebody took their time with it. And if you're going to do individual bricks, you know, more power to you, and that probably will make a difference. And I don't think that I think you'll be able to tell because you eliminate the white bricks. But I don't think you'll be able to tell that it was stained necessarily. So,
okay.
Check with them. And then I think also you could do an online search, and you may also, search for some videos, because there's some professionals out there that are pretty good about giving their secrets away and the advice. I've seen, some guys that mix mortar, for when you're tuck pointing mortar and things like that. So, some pretty good videos out there. So before you jump into it, I would spend that time maybe well worth it, and probably pick up some tips and tricks on what to do and what not to do.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good luck. Hey, let us know how it turns out, Pam. We'd love to hear.
I will. I'll send you a picture.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Yeah, that's pretty cool. That you're attempting to do that, and it'll look good, you know. Fact is, it's from the street. Nobody probably would ever know anyway. So, you know, John's been talking a lot about in his neighborhood in Atlanta that there's a lot of people painting and whitewashing their houses, and it's an older neighborhood. I think it's from the houses were built in the 80s, and people just want that look. You know, now me, I'm different. You know, if I have a brick house,
you want it to be brick.
I want it to stay brick, and I'm gonna seal it. I'm gonna wash it. I'm gonna seal it so it doesn't take on any moisture, and that's gonna be that. And I'm not gonna use a shiny sealer. We had a call. Our friend John Cannamella with the infrared survey, you know, and he a lot of times people can't find a leak in their house, and John will go out. And he'll find the leaks with this camera because it shows different color, you know. So, I mean, people have three or four roofers out, and John goes out one time, and he pinpoints the leak exactly where it's at. You know, he almost always sends me a copy of the photographs because it's pretty cool. And he's helped us on some projects, and it's very helpful without having to do a lot of tearing things up or opening things up to try to find out what's going on. But he had a job not long ago, and he sent it to me, and it was the water was soaking into the brick, running down on the lintel. For some reason, it was dammed up, and the water was running back in the house, and was coming through the windows on the interior of the house. And they everybody kept saying, oh, you got to point up, you have to caulk. We ended up sealing the back of that house, that brick, and that was it. That was the end of it. They haven't had another problem since. And that's what it was. So the brick is so porous that it's tucking that water. Now, most of the time, it's designed to run down to weep holes at the bottom. Well, guess what? This guy didn't have any weep holes.
No weep holes.
There were no weep holes in the brick either. So, pretty important. And if you have a brick home out there and you're not sure, you should hire somebody to come over and inspect that and take a look at it and make sure that that's available. That there is a place for water to get out, because it can be a problem over time. Yeah.
I was going to ask you, as far as the sealing the bricks, will that stop some of the,
efflorescence?
Or that white?
Yeah, efflorescence.
Coming through?
It will, because what it does is it never allows the moisture, as long as the moisture is coming from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a brick retaining wall or something, you most likely have moisture on the backside that it's trying to push through, because water's going to seek. Wet goes to dry. Mm-hmm. So that water, if it's in the dirt or if there's no gravel, no drainage plane behind the retaining wall, that water's going to stay on there. And as it's wet, the moisture will push that the salts and the minerals out of the masonry, and it'll push it to the surface. It'll push it to the dry side, which is the outside, and then you see it. But yes, if you use a sealer on brick, on a brick home, you seal it. And what you're looking for is a no-shine sealer is the best way to describe it. But it's the best sealer, because what it does is it seals, but it seals the moisture out, and that's it. And it's a pretty good idea, I think. I'm all for sealing anything. Doesn't matter. Let's get Pat in here. Hey, Pat, welcome to the program. How can we help?
Good morning. I hope y'all are doing well.
We are. How can we help?
Yes, I have a condo community, 28 units. Our irrigation system froze at the very last cold snap.
Oh, yeah, mine too.
We're trying to get it fixed, and we've been told that we need a backflow preventer replaced due to freezing, and 3/4-inch backflow preventer. Does this have to be permitted? One guy is including the cost of permitting it. The other guy is not.
I think any time that you're dealing with the water system and you're putting in backflow preventers, I think they're going to want a permit. But it's pretty easy for you to find out if that's the case. So, in Mecklenburg County, I'm assuming you're in Mecklenburg.
Yes, sir.
Okay. If you call down there to the inspections department, there's a division called RTAC. And what that is, it's the residential assistance, and they can answer any questions, and they have a residential and a commercial side, and they'll answer that question for you. And then you know for sure whether you need a permit or not.
Great. Thank you so much. R like Robert, T like Tom, A C.
I believe so. Residential assistant,
technical assistant.
And I'm not sure what all the letters are, but if you look up assistance or residential with building permits, building standards, about anything you put in there, you'll be able to find it. And I'll try to look it up too, and then I'll put it out over air.
Y'all are great, and Zeke's company takes care of my office systems, all three of them. So
oh, good.
So yeah,
all right, thank you.
Well, he's back on his feet.
Guys.
See ya. Thank you, Pat. All right, Pat is gone. Lines open, 704-570-1110. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call. Say hi to Zeke. Do you have any air conditioning questions? This would be a good time to get it in. We're getting ready to come up on our last break for this first hour. It kind of flew by, didn't it? Wow. Kind of back with the ceiling thing. Yeah, I mean, seal it. If it's better. And a brick house, you probably only have to seal it every 15 years. And you may not have to seal it again after that if it doesn't get a lot of water pushed against it or forced against it. Most of those sealers are They're permeable, so they go in, and what they do is they don't let water in, but they'll let water out from the outside. So, and when I say water, it's water vapor. And what we're kind of talking about when we talk about weep holes and all of that is when you put up brick is not really structural as a veneer. So if it's what covers your house, it's about an inch off of the wall. It's only attached with some little metal strips that are nailed to the sheathing, and then they're folded and bent out, and they're in the mortar joints, and that just keeps the brick from tipping away from the wall. The foundation, of course, is structural, and that's what the house is sitting on, but the actual brick veneer of a house is not. So that little space in behind is an air space, but it's also where any moisture travels, and it travels from down the wall and then goes out the weep holes at the bottom if they're present. So if you can keep moisture from getting in there, it's probably a good thing. And a little bit of sealer, it's pretty inexpensive to do that. So, okay, well, with that said, we are right up against our break. We're going to take it. Lines are open, 704-570-1110. We'll be right back after these messages.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
All right, welcome back. It is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And glad you joined us. This is the second hour. We had a couple calls or a call that dropped in there, so hopefully you'll they're calling back. Lines are open, 704-570-1110. Talking home improvement, little emphasis on some air conditioning today. We talk about your system or maybe your future system, or if you're adding on to your house, or maybe a sunroom, or maybe you want to do something in your garage or your shop. And Zeke can help us with that, can kind of guide you as to what you may want to think about doing. And no agenda there, just trying to give good information. That's how that works. Like I said, lines are open, 704-570-1110. Don't forget the website, askjohnanddave.com. You can send us questions there. There's a questions button, so you can just click on that and fill out the little form. Be sure and let us know kind of where you're at. And it matters, different rules apply to different parts of the country, whether it's cold, more cold than it is hot, or if it's hotter than it is cold, is it sandy soil? All of those kind of things matter. So if you can give us a little bit of information, we don't really need your address. And if it's a complicated question, if you include your phone number, a lot of times I'll try to call people so I can clarify things, because maybe we're not using the same terminology, and sometimes it can be confusing for me. So sometimes a call is warranted. But if you don't put it in there and I need to talk to you, I'll ask you for your number. So with that said, let's get Gail in here. Gail, welcome to the program. How can we help?
I have a two-story home with the master baths over our kitchen. We had a leak in the shower, and it damaged the ceiling, and I want to try to fix it myself. What can I do?
So tell me about the ceiling. Is it just a flat drywall ceiling?
No, it's, what do they call that stuff?
Texture popcorn?
Yes.
Okay. It's, you can certainly try, you can't mess it up. And if you do, then you can call in a professional. So, you won't have a whole lot involved in it. That process is normally the drywall is finished, and then technically, it's supposed to be primed first, which it never happens in 99% of the houses. That's why that's usually why it comes off so easy and why it falls down. What's going to happen, and then that process is that it's usually sprayed on. They mix this stuff up in a hopper, and it's real it's real thick, and then it's blown through this special hopper that they sprayed on the ceilings, and that's how they get it kind of evened out. So they have patch kits and cans, and you can mix it up. And sometimes you can, for little tiny spots, you can use a putty knife, and sometimes you can pop it up there. But it almost always looks better if it's been sprayed,
okay.
Gail. So First course of business is that you're going to have to apply a product to kill the stains, and it needs to be an oil-based product.
Oil-based, okay.
So there's a product called Kills Upshot, which is probably about the best thing I've ever seen. So it's an inverted spray can, so it sprays straight up rather than out the side.
Mm-hmm.
And so you shake that up, and then you'll spray that over the leaks. Now, you want to make sure that you put down some painter's plastic over everything in that room, because there will be overspray, and you don't want that stuff floating and getting on any furniture or things that you want to keep.
I'll do that.
And then from there, you can buy a can of or a couple of cans. I'm not, how big of an area is it that's come off or that's in question?
I'd say maybe maybe a foot by foot.
Okay.
Not much.
So you may be able to it may be worth the attempt then, and buy the cans of spray. If I was you, I would buy two or three cans. I'm not sure how many square feet they cover.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get started and something happens with the can, you'll have a backup can. because they can clog or something can happen and it can have a problem. So if you'll do that, have a couple of cans. If you don't need it, you can always take it back.
Okay.
And then that's pretty much it. But the main thing is to make sure you cover everything up, because it does make a mess. Even especially if you're close to a wall, I would tape some plastic on that wall that you may be spraying to. Even though you're going to be spraying straight up, that stuff kind of bounces and shoots around. Make sure you cover your eyes. Put some protection over your eyes, because you're looking up and that stuff will pop off the ceiling and it hurts when it gets in your eye. You want to know how I know that?
I think I know.
There you go.
You've got experience.
I have experience. It's not always the best, but sometimes it's just experience.
Well, like my husband said, and who he passed away about 21 days ago, and I'm trying to do some things to stay busy.
I hear you. Well, bless your heart. Sorry to hear that.
Thank you so much. But it's the preparation, all the plastic. I need to get that and mm-hmm. do what you told me to. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. If you run any trouble with that, you can send us a note at our website, and I can also get you connected with some folks that maybe can help you if it doesn't turn out exactly like you want.
Perfect.
Okay.
Have a good day.
You too. Thanks, Gail. Good luck with everything.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's get Mark in here. Hey, Mark. Welcome to the program. How can we help?
Hey, how you doing today?
Great, man.
Good. I just tuned in, so I hope you hadn't already covered this today. But I have a big deck on the back of my house, and it bakes in the sun, and it has for a good 8 years.
Right.
He put it together, treated lumber and everything else, but nothing's been done to it since then.
Right.
And it's hard for me to walk sometimes, so I'm trying to find, is there something I can use as a spray, where I can spray some type of sealant, something on it to help prolong it, the boards?
Yeah, at this point in time, it's been this long, and so it hasn't had, you haven't done much to it?
I haven't done anything since he built it.
Okay, so, yeah, I think...
A lot of creaking, you know, a lot of creaking and cracking sounds on the wood, because it's just...
Yeah,
that's all we're at.
Understand. Okay. Yeah, I've got a couple of thoughts for you. We've run past our first break here, so the time for us to break out. So if you don't mind, Mark, if you'll hold tight, and then we've got Mary after you that's going to hold, and then we'll answer that question. How about that? Got about 4 minutes. All right. Thanks, man. All right. Mark is on hold. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more of the Home Improvement Show after this. All right, welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Seeker Costa with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
We're going to go right back to the lines here. We got Mark and Mary holding. Lines open 704-570-1110. Give us a call. And Mark, thanks for holding. Mary, we got you next. Hey, Mark, go ahead. We were talking about your deck. It's been just not a lot done to it in 8 years, and you say it's creaking and popping and looks pretty rough, huh?
Soaked in the sun. Well, it's, you know, I mean, it's turning color. I don't care about that so much, but
right.
I don't want it to be unsafe.
Okay.
And I know I've done some reading and YouTube and such, and and I'm seeing that maybe a painting is probably what's going to need to be done.
Yeah, that's
to help give it any strength.
Yeah, that's kind of my take on wood decks that are maybe older, or really, if I had a wood deck, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love the transparent stains. I love to see the wood grain through the deck. And if it's a covered porch or it's shaded, that's the way I'm going with a semi-transparent. But if it's out in the sun, I'm going to go with a solid color stain. I'm a big fan of the Cabot's stain. It's okay. One of the solid color Cabot's. You do not have to strip it off when you recoat it. And to me, that's important, because if it's any size deck, stripping off any type of finish is a pretty big ordeal. So,
it's a big deck.
So Cabot's solid color stains, and you can mix any color. You have it mixed any color you want. You can wash it in 2, 3, 4, 5 years, whenever it gets done again. You can wash the deck, let it dry, and you can put that coating right back over the old coating, and you don't have to strip it off. Most every other stain out there tells you that you have to remove that finish before you apply their finish back over top of it. So it kind of adds to the steps, and I just think that solid color stain does a better job. It tends to fill the cracks and the voids. I would go through and check for loose boards. I don't know if that deck is screwed down or nailed down. Can you tell?
They're still screwed down. I've had to go out there and replace some screws and every now and then, because they'll come loose and that hot sun will make it start curling up.
Sure, absolutely. So that would be the first thing I would do, is go through. You may want to clean it first. There's deck cleaners out there. The one that I've used before that I liked is the Olympic deck cleaner. It comes like in a 2.5 gallon container. You spray it down. I'm not a real big fan of using a pressure washer on a deck. You can use it real lightly to rinse, but you could do the same thing with a garden hose. If you have any kind of pressure and you can put a tip on it, you're better off just to do small sections, spray it, put the deck cleaner on it, scrub it with a stiff deck brush, and then rinse it off, let it dry, and then you can go through and fix any screws. You can see the boards better once all the dirt's gone. You can see the screws. Tighten it up, get it tightened up, and then put your finish down. There is another step if you wanted to. The deck's 8 years old. It's probably still worth it, but maybe apply a coat of Cedar Shield after the deck has been washed.
What's it called?
Cedar Shield. You can order
tree cedar, CEDAR.
Yes, and you can order that. It's the website Cedar Side, so it's the word Cedar Side, CIDE.com. That's a wood stabilizer. What that does is it'll push the moisture out of the wood, and it will keep it from coming back really for a long time. They say eventually it wears out, but I haven't seen it yet with some of our projects. So, but anyway, anytime you stabilize the wood and it can't take moisture on, it's not expanding and contracting. Therefore, it's not cracking and splitting like it normally would. It's not warping or twisting because it's not moving. The other benefit to it is that if you get moisture in any product, if it has paint on it, eventually it's going to push the paint off. That's just what it does, because it's a bond breaker. So the Cedar Shield, if it can't absorb water once the Cedar Shield's applied, then that means that your finish is going to last longer. You're not going to have problems with it delaminating or popping off. So it may be worth an extra step. You have to decide. It's a budget thing, because like everything else, everything's more expensive. That stuff's up to like $70 a gallon now.
I'm going to go to the trouble of doing it. I may as well try to do
it. You might want to do it. If you sign up for their newsletter, they'll send you an automatic 10% off. The Memorial Day sale was 20% off, which is the best deal. That's usually when I buy it. And I always buy it in the 5 gallon containers. You get a little bit better deal because it's less packaging. And if you can hit it with a sale, and there'll be one for the 4th of July as well. I will say, mention to you, make sure you try to pick a cloudy day if you can when you paint. And even if you clean too, it's easier on you, but it's the chemicals don't dry out as fast. So if you can get an overcast day, or even if it's misting lightly when you're cleaning, is not a bad day to clean. But when you paint, it's really better if you can do it when it's not so hot. So I wouldn't do it in the heat of the day.
Would that be roll painting, like using a roller?
Yeah, you can roll that. You can roll that product on. Usually keep a brush handy because you're going to have it to get in the cracks. You can also spray it, but if you don't have a sprayer and you're not used to spraying, it's probably better off just to stick with the roller and a brush.
Okay. You have helped me very much. I sure appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome.
Have a great rest of your weekend, and I'm going to let Mary jump in now.
All right. Thanks, Mark. We appreciate the call. Have a good one. Good luck. Okay. Mark is gone. Let's get Mary in here. Hey, Mary, how can we help?
Good morning. I've got I guess you'd call it a sinkhole in my yard. I believe it may be where an old septic tank was, and I just didn't know what to do with it or who I could call on to do something about it.
Well, you're going to need a landscaper. Chances are somebody with a dump trailer and some a little bit of equipment. I could probably get you in touch with someone. But I'm going to need you to send me a note, if you would.
Okay.
If you can send me a note to our website, askjohnanddave.com, hit the questions button, and just fill that out, and I'll see if I can get you connected with someone. But you're going to need someone with small equipment that can bring that's capable of bringing some dirt out there and getting it close to the sinkhole. I mean, if they can get in there and back in and dump it right where the hole is even better.
Yeah.
I don't know that you want to go through the process of trying to find out why it's sinking. Chances are there was something buried out there and it just deteriorated.
Yeah, I would think so. So, yeah, it's the house is something like 70 years old. So,
okay.
That was original to the house, I'm assuming.
Yeah, and it was pretty common practice back then that they would dig a hole and they would either put construction debris or landscape debris that maybe the lot was cleared from, and they would bury it. You're not allowed to do that anymore just for these reasons, because it seems like a good idea, but if especially in these tract neighborhoods where it's really tight to get in and out, you have no way to get equipment in and out of the backyard if that's where it's at, and it makes it really tough to repair. So,
okay. Well,
costly.
I will send you a note then, and I appreciate the information.
You're welcome. We'll see if we can help you out. Thanks, Mary, and thanks for holding so long.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye bye. Okay, Mary's gone, and we're almost to another break here. How about that? So get your questions ready for Zeke, and we'll certainly talk some air conditioning when we come back. We're going to talk. Again, about mini splits, I think, and filters, and of course, anything that you might want to talk about. We can learn a little bit more about zoning and how you can make your house more comfortable by splitting up the duct system. And they actually can add some thermostats, and you can control different rooms. So, you know, especially kind of neat if you have a master bedroom that maybe you want it a little bit cooler in there, and you want the rest of the house at the temperature you have it set at. So there's some helpful ways to do it, and we'll let Zeke explain a little bit more about that. Lines are open, 704-570-1110. We'd love to hear from you for there. And then questions at askjohnanddave.com or askjohnanddave.com. Hit the questions button. We can take care of you there as well. In the meantime, we're going to take a break, get a few messages in here, some news, and we'll be back with more home improvement after this. Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And we're glad you stay tuned with us. Say we're going to do the, we need to do our Home Depot product of the week. And this week it is the OnePlus 18-volt, 18-gauge cordless Airstrike brad nailer. So they have a finish nailer that'll shoot up to 2.5-inch nails, but this brad nailer uses a 18-inch brad, and I think down to 1 inch. I'm not sure if that's the smallest as it'll take, but up to 2 inches. So, and it'll punch one into hardwood. It's a pretty neat little tool. It works with all the 18-volt batteries. It's lightweight, and it's not going to break the bank. If you already have the batteries, it's $109 without the batteries. But if you need the batteries and chargers, you're going to spend a little bit more. Makes a great Father's Day gift. And, you know, even if you only use this thing once in a while, it's worth having. I have a couple of these, and I have pneumatic tools too, because if you're going all day with something, you need air is a little bit better. Although, you know, everybody's switching to these battery operated tools. I guess I'm just old school, but I like the Ryobi stuff. It all same battery fits all of it. So check it out. It's the Brad Naylor from Ryobi. $109 makes a good Father's Day gift, and of course, Mama can use it too. So there you go. All right. Zeke, let's get back to what we were talking about. We started talking about the mini splits, which really is a one or a two room.
Well, I mean,
heat pump, right?
Yes, I mean, but you're not limited to that. I mean, you can
correct
have, because you can have mini splits now with multiple indoor sections. You can
right
have, you know, five different indoor sections. You
and one outdoor unit,
and
right?
One outdoor unit.
Right.
So,
you know, that gives you individual control of each room,
each
right?
Each room, right.
So what's the smallest? So let's say I built a 12 by 16 sunroom on my house. So 192 square feet, 200 mm-hmm square feet.
Right.
You got heat load. You got load because you got glass. Now you're going to have to put low E glass because that's right the code now. And that chops down a little yeah bit on that, but still you have glass. Maybe it's not shaded back there.
Yeah, it depends on which way that glass is facing. Mm-hmm. So is it facing east and west or north and south?
Right.
It will change the size unit that's required to cool that area.
Right. That's why your contractor, when he's helping design this, if he mm-hmm did design build, should be asking these questions and know mm-hmm where that location is, because he can right help with that air conditioning sure load, right? Just
yep
maybe bigger overhangs. Don't yeah set the windows so low. Maybe yeah raise the windows up. Keep them shaded.
Yeah. Don't have to be from the floor to ceiling.
Right.
When, you know, come up 3-4 feet and then put the glass in.
So. Right. Makes a sense so that it's you know, and then maybe some plantings. But you can get down to what?
They have a three-quarter ton unit.
Okay.
Which is 9,000 BTUs. I've seen some as low as a half a ton or 6,000 BTU, but I haven't seen it in some of the
big brands.
Big brand units.
Right.
You can, some of the smaller units do smaller brands.
Right.
Have the 6,000. The problem is that people say, "Oh, all I need, you know, is price difference between a half a ton and a one ton, it's not that much."
Right.
And they'll just get the one ton. You know, well,
bigger's better.
Bigger's not better.
Right.
You know.
Not in air conditioning, is it?
No, not at all.
So explain that a little bit of why sizing is so important when we talk about load on the house yeah and where the sun's at. You guys have to know all this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
For what reason?
Because the size of the unit is, you know, determined by the square footage, how much insulation you have in the attic,
right?
You know, in your walls, all of that, it goes into the calculation. And if you have a unit that is too large, just because, hey, it's only a couple hundred dollars difference or $500 difference, let's just go to the bigger unit. Well, the problem in this area, because of the high humidity that we encounter in the summertime, you end up the unit not running enough, especially on a
right
on the cool days. When it's, you know, when it's 95 degrees outside, you're probably going to be okay, but it's not 95 all the time. There's a lot of 80 degree days, and if the unit is oversized, it might only run half as much as it should be running.
Sure.
And then you don't get the humidity out.
Right.
And
so you're short cycling.
Your short cycling unit comes on and off. On and off.
So it satisfies the temperature, but you really never get that long run to right deal with the humidity, which right is really the other portion of air conditioning,
yeah,
right?
Right. Humidity.
If you can get rid of that humidity, that's why I was so happy to have that system that I have in my house that dehumidifies
yeah
You know, I had not had that before, and when we pulled the trigger and decided to do that, this is the greatest thing we ever did, because our house is comfortable at a higher temperature. You know, we actually keep it set at 73, 74 degrees all the time, but it's not uncomfortable in the house because the humidity is being controlled. Yeah. So,
and that's the other thing, going back to the sizing. Some people say, well, it's a variable speed compressor, so it'll just slow down and not. Well, yes and no. If you look at the manufacturer specs, they, even on low speed, it's like a 9,000 BTUs. Well, if you only need 6 and you put a 9, then, you know, you're going to be short cycling.
Right.
So that's the biggest thing.
So there's a method to the madness. So when we talk about sizing and air conditioning, you want to make sure that you don't want too big. You want it to be just right.
Just right.
Right? Like the three bears, isn't that what that was about the porridge? So, right. Yeah, well, so you need to be just right. And
The other thing is that if energy efficiency, when you have short cyclings, every time that unit starts up, the amperage jumps
goes
way up.
Sure.
If you look at the meter, especially the old meters that now with the digitals, you're not going to see it, but the old ones that had the wheel.
It'd spin faster, wouldn't it?
You see it spin faster when it came on. Well, it's just like the same thing with your car. You get a lot better mileage on the highway when it's a steady speed.
Mm-hmm.
Then you start and stop in town traffic.
So city driving versus highway driving.
Highway driving.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. So for that unit, so that it's better for that unit to run long periods of time to handle the humidity. And yeah, it's cooling, but you really, the beauty of the multi-stage is that it will drop off. You could save energy because it's running at a lower amp pull because it's using
less electricity.
Less electricity, but it's still working in the background, cooling and dehumidifying, which essentially is what it's doing. It's just pulling more air across that coil, taking that moisture out of the air.
When the variable speeds first came out, that was one of the things that a lot of people would, you know, we put the unit in it. Well, this one runs all the time. My power bill's going to be higher.
Right.
It's not.
No, it's not, exactly.
They would call complaining before they even got the power bill. Just, you know, the unit's going to run all the time.
Well, it's not something you're not used to.
My other one did not run all the time.
Right. I get it.
So getting it, you know, explaining it to the customer makes a big difference.
Sure. Okay. Well, hey, we got to take a break. We went past it, and we'll be back with some more home improvement right after these messages. All right, welcome back. It's our final segment of the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doval.
I am Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
All right. Let's get Craig in here. Craig wants to talk about, what is it, Craig? A free AC scam.
It's a good morning to have Mr. Acosta on there.
Yeah.
I had heard something about a program, and I think it's using some leftover pandemic money to help people replace their air conditioning units. I guess the compressor and stuff. Have you guys heard anything about that? Is it for real, or is it just a scam?
I haven't heard anything.
Well, I haven't heard a free one. There are some, in some instances, there is some rebate money or tax credit, and not rebate, it's really a tax credit. So you have to
pay taxes.
You have to owe
taxes, you could use a tax credit.
Yeah, at the end, when you do your taxes, if you end up having to pay taxes and you have it, you have put in a high efficiency heat pump or a high efficiency air conditioner and furnace, there are some pretty good sized credits. I mean, I've seen them as high as $8,000. Credit, but there's also, you know, it has to be a particular unit, not just any air conditioner. It has to be the high efficiency, basically top of the line units.
Right.
Now, in my instance, I have a walkout. My house is a walkout. And I have two units, one for upstairs, one for downstairs, and I have AC and then a gas furnace. I would do you know, would they require me to replace both or just one, just the AC?
Well, it depends on what you do. Most of the there are very few furnaces that meet the tax credit specification, because it has to be like a 98% efficient unit. Most manufacturers stop at about 97% efficient. So it's hard to get a 98% in a lot of cases. The air conditioner is sort of crazy, because if you put the if you replace the air conditioner, it is harder to get a credit. But if you happen to put a heat pump, which would be, you know, then you get tax credits on the heat pump. It's easier to apply a tax credit on a heat pump than there are on gas furnaces and air conditioners.
Yeah, the reason I ask is that, you know, I replaced one of the AC units about 5 years ago, and then but the house is over 10 years old, and so I'm, on that other unit, I'm kind of using it on borrowed time, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. And if you have to do it, I would just check with, you know, when they come out to do a survey and give you a price on replacing. They're probably just going to look at the fact you have an air conditioner and give you a price on an air conditioner. Just right. Ask them about putting a heat pump with it, because you can put a heat pump with a gas furnace, and you can end up getting the credit on the heat pump. And there's not much price difference between an outdoor heat pump and a coil, or an air conditioner and a coil. So you can come up with a better deal that way.
Thank you very much, Zeke. I really appreciate that. Hey, a quick shout out for John and Dave. You guys always tell people if you want to email us, let me say on the radio, if you email these guys, they will get back to you. It's happened to me a couple of times. Thanks a lot for taking
Thanks, Craig. Time, we appreciate that.
Right. Thank you.
See you later.
Bye-bye. Yeah, so, and I do email back. Sometimes it might take a little bit, because sometimes I'm busy, but you know, I had a gal one time that sent me a note, and I gave her some advice, and I sent it back to her. She was pretty vague with her question, and so I couldn't be very descriptive with my answer, but I gave her what I thought she was wanting, and she wrote me back, and she said, "What kind of an answer was that?" And I wrote her back, I said, "Free." So if you get smart with me, I'll get smart back with you. It doesn't matter. That's just how that works. No, but yeah, we do answer, and I see them. Sometimes it takes me a little bit of time to get back.
Emails have been, you know, for me, I was, you know, in the hospital for so long. I got in the emails were just, I think it was like 1,500 emails that I had.
Yeah.
And it takes a while. I still got about 200 that I have not been to.
That's what happens to John Gordon with his job. That's why I kind of man the website.
You go out of town and they pile up quickly.
And well, he goes for a couple of days because he's doing business somewhere, and it's what he says. He says it's just crazy, you know, 200, 300 emails a day.
Right.
You know, it's a lot. So yeah, some, you know, you probably have to be brief with your response and kind of get to the point. So no pleasantries in there. But the website is open, and if you have questions, or if you're looking for someone to help you and you're not sure, you can send it there, and I can help share some of our contacts that we have. We do have our preferred service provider page. We don't have a lot of people on there, but we have most of the basics covered, and hope to get more as time goes on. But again, you know, that's John and I both have full-time jobs, so this is our service back to our community is really what this is. And you know, WBT is kind enough to do this, you know. And I mean, you know, yeah, they sell commercials and they have to make money because it's airtime, and you know, money, you know, you got to pay for all this. But you know, with the help of you and Scott, and we have Dry Pro and Home Depot, we're pretty fortunate, you know, that it keeps this show on. And 27 years for me this month, and John's been on for 28. It'll be 29 in, I think, October. So, and he told me not long ago, he says, "I was hoping that we could make 30 years with it." So we're barring one of us having a meltdown here on air, we might make it.
You'll make it.
So it's all good. But we appreciate it. We have great listeners, and people are kind, and I go lots of places and I meet people that have been listening to the show for a long time, and it's pretty cool. And I'm not a celebrity. I'm a contractor. I'm a contractor first. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's fun, and we get to help people, and I think that's the most important part right there, is that, you know, we're helping to spread the truth out there and hopefully keep the industry clean and keep the riffraff out. That's what you're after. So if you ever have any questions about it, we certainly want you to answer it. And there is no stupid question. If we've answered it 100 times, it doesn't matter. If you don't know the answer to it and you need the answer, we'll give it to you, and the listeners will bear with us, because that's what we do. And that's how we educate. And that's, you know, there's a lot of people that are new homeowners out there. They don't know. But you need to know, because it'll save you money, right? I mean, I know you guys run into it a lot.
Oh,
people
yeah.
that just, they don't have an understanding of how the system works. And,
you have so many people that, you know, let's say even in, not that they're coming from out of, from, you know, way out, but even people that have been in the mountains and they don't have natural gas and mostly oil or propane, and they get here and, you know.
Right. Hey, next week or next month when you come in, Zeke, I want to kind of hit a little bit on natural gas. John, we've kind of avoided it a little bit because it's, you know, but it's not political. I mean, what they're trying to do, but I want to talk about it because I think people need to have a better understanding of what it entails and what can be a problem. So we'll plan to hit on that here one day soon.
Okay.
Hey man, it's up. It's done. We're at the end. So hey, want to remind you, we believe that the most important kind of home improvement is the one that makes your home a happier place to live. We hope you'll work on that this week. We'll see you next week, and we'll be back with more of the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. See you then.